guys. Good evening, and thank you for coming. It's my sort of sad duty, but actually, wait a minute. I just got a message from Mike Board. Can you send password details to his private email?
All right. Wow, that sounds exclusive. Let me see.
No, it does. Oh, yeah.
Right. Is it easy for you to do, Brian, or do you want me to do it?
Yes, okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Well, I'll
do it to him now.
I'll carry on, though. So, as I was saying, it's my sort of sad duty, but once again, I think it's a privilege to say goodbye to those councillors that are standing down, and particularly Diane. I mean, you've just been here forever, Diane, haven't you?
20 years.
20 years. Well, I didn't like to say how long, but I wasn't sure. I didn't want to embarrass you by saying it was more than 30.
I know. Probably too long, but hey-ho.
No, there's no such thing as too long. You've always sat there, and sometimes you don't say much, but then you come in with that stiletto bit of sage advice. And
I've just sent Brian a message. I feel quite sad tonight, actually, after all this length of time. Yeah. But I just think that you get to the point where, you know, you've just got to get on with your own life, really. And it doesn't take a huge chunk out, this bit, you know, the parish council. I just think that I've been doing politics since 1998, I think, and it's a long time. So I'm just going to have a nice little relax.
Yeah, well, you enjoy it, Diane, and thank you very much for all the support you've given me personally over the, you know.
Well, I mean, I'm still around if anybody wants, well, you know, wants to do anything, and help. Absolutely, I'm perfectly happy. Perfect.
I know you won't be on the council, Di, but I still get you to sign checks. I know it's illegal, but it makes my life easier. Yeah.
Not a problem at all.
and thank you, Di, and you, Sally. You know, I mean, I know you haven't served as long as Diane, but you've certainly served longer than me, and. I've always been impressed by your diligence. When you take something on, look out, because you're going to get to the bottom of it, and that's always been useful. And good evening, Mike. And
evening, all.
You know, and hopefully you'll be there for a phone call when we're struggling for an answer. But
I've enjoyed it in a funny sort of way, and there's been some times when I haven't liked it at all. I don't like it when it gets nasty. I think
I'm going to get
involved with the community partnership, so I won't disappear.
Yeah, no, okay. And and lastly, to my very good friend Busy, many years actually, far too many for me to embarrass her. And I'm sorry that she's had to stand down, but you know, I wish her everything and the best of luck. And he's not here. Our tenacious ward councillor, because I'd like to say a few words to him, but at least we're recording it, and he may wish to listen. But Reg, I mean, I couldn't do justice to the service that he's given to our community. You know, he's just been serving since, I think, 1993. Always ready to help. He's always given me advice. Not always wanted to hear it, but you know what Reg is. He's a flipping good egg, and he's looked after us. And the one thing I wanted to say to Reg was that I would hope he'd be here when we're floundering for yesterday's answer to tomorrow's question, because he's got all that experience, and he knows where all the bodies are buried, and that is really useful. Anyway, Reg, if you do hear this, good luck, mate, and thank you very much.
Here, well, I second that.
Thank you.
Well said.
Yeah, well said.
Thank you.
I'll pass on those wishes.
Thank you very much, Brian. Now, okay, so let's start proper. Is there anybody got any questions that aren't on the agenda? And I think there was somebody who was going to say something. Because if you haven't got it now, I won't be able to hear him later.
I'd like to suggest Harriet has a moment.
Okay.
Yeah, Gordon, hi,
Harriet. Nice to meet you. Hello.
Hi, nice to meet you. For anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Harriet Hadfield. I moved into my grandma's house on the high street in Seaview last June with my little boy and my...
That was it? You were the lady I was thinking of, yes. I did read your email.
I also do a bit of local journalism, and I have a newsletter. I'm not here in the capacity as a journalist at all. I am here in my capacity as a resident of the high street, and Sally very kindly drew my attention to some funding coming from the government for the Support for High Streets Fund, and it was off the back of a conversation I'd had with her about my concerns really about safety in terms of, just for me personally, I've got Jack who's 2.5, and as soon as I open my front door, he's straight out onto the high street. And I have noticed cars driving very, very fast down the high street, and also the very silent new electric scooters, which come in both directions as well. I've also, my parents live in the village, and I've always thought, particularly in the summer months, how nice it might be, and I'm sure it's not without its issues, to pedestrianise part of the high street, as we do in Regatta Week, for example. And this just seemed like a perfect opportunity, maybe, to look at that as a really great solution, but at least some traffic calming measures for the high street. So that was what I wanted to bring to you guys today.
Yeah. Last year, Reg, Sally, a couple of fellows from, I think it was the Isle of Wight Council, not Isle of Roads, wasn't it? And we went down there and discussed that, and we generally thought that it was a good idea. And but they said at the time that you wouldn't be looking at anything 2021. But with this money initiative from the government, it might be an opportunity to poke a few things and see if it'll work.
Barry, what we could do is, obviously, we can have a... I think it's the end of this week or something. We can put a list together of ideas from the council. It doesn't mean anything is going to happen, and they're not resolutions or anything like that.
No.
But they're suggestions that you can send to the Isle of Wight Council, and it might stir them into coming up with a figure that they want to hand to each community. Yeah. So,
is it something that we could have on the agenda for the next meeting?
Yeah.
Okay. We
were going to discuss this at the end, weren't we, Barry? Brian, sorry. We were going to discuss this at the end, because there's lots of suggestions to do with this particular funding.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to bring off to go Jack to bed, but that's really good to speak to you all.
Thank you for coming.
Before Harriet goes, all I would say is, if anyone would like to log into Harriet's Sunday 5 newses about the Isle of Wight, it is very interesting in various highlighting of characters and what's happening on the Isle of Wight. So,
thank you.
Well done, Harriet.
Harriet, can I just say, you know Alex Chawton, yeah?
Do I?
Because I think that's where I met you not that long ago.
Ah, I think you're right, Barry.
I'm going to say no more. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, bye-bye. Okay, so we've got no apologies for absence.
Yes, just busy.
I beg your pardon. Has anybody got any declarations or personal producer interests?
No.
No.
Well, if you come up, let me know and I'll add them in.
Okay, so now it's to approve the minutes of the previous PC meeting held on the 15th of March. Anybody like to propose that we...
I'll propose them.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take the lady mic. Di proposed them. Who's going to second it?
Let the other lady do it.
Roy. No, Roy, he's not a lady. Okay, all those in favour?
That's carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And Brian, your report, please.
Right. Right, a tree that was dangerously overhanging into a neighbour's property at Sophie Watson's garden has had some essential remedial work carried out by Brystone Landscaping, basically chopping it back and getting rid of it. Not the tree, the overhanging bits, a cost of £120 plus VAT. A toilet flush broke at Seagrove Bay Toilets, and Clean White Cleaning replaced it for us at a cost of £24.63 with no VAT. The Environment Officer reported the latch on one of the gates at Kerryfield's play area had been broken. On closer inspection, it had fallen off due to the post being rotten. CWC have also replaced that post, and it costs £50 to work, and that's all been taken care of. The last meeting, a resident asked if the Environment Agency could be recontacted over pollution in the lagoon at the Nature Reserve. The Environmental Agency officer has reported that they have identified pollution from a nearby farm, and they are working with the farm to rectify this. The officer also said that a far-reaching investigation into agricultural pollution of the Solent is underway, and the whole of the island's farming is being investigated. There we go. That came out something Joe asked last week. On the 24th of March, the Isle of Wight Council acknowledged the nomination of the land in Eddington Road as an asset of community value. We will be notified by the 14th of May 2021 as to whether that nomination has been successful. Carrying on from last meeting, Stevie Recreation Ground, the signed partnership agreement, which confirms the Parish Council's commitment to maintain the turf area at the ground, has been sent and acknowledged by the Isle of Wight Council. Solent View Road, along with the chairman, we met the district steward from Island Road to discuss seasonal parking restrictions on Solent View Road. The steward recorded details about the area and has submitted them to the road safety engineering team for their consideration at an upcoming meeting. And if they come up with any solutions that could be suitable, we'll be informed. The McDonald's drive-through, Hampshire Constabulary, Island Roads and McDonald's were all written to with regards to the queuing traffic on the A3055. Hampshire Constabulary wrote back and said it was a matter for McDonald's and the road users to manage, and if they could not do that, we should let the local council know. Island Roads replied to say it was a matter for Hampshire Constabulary, and they are confident it will ease as lockdown eases. McDonald's have not replied.
Surprise, surprise.
Seaview Hotel public toilets. I wrote to the Seaview Hotel seeking clarification on when the toilets will be open again. They have not responded. So that's the end of my report. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Brian, on the Island Rose one, yeah. I wrote on an incident somewhere else on the island of an abandoned vehicle and where it was actually parked or left. It was actually an offence to pass overtake it because it was double white lines. Oh. So, and I got a standard, like what you say, a standard letter back from Island Roads saying that they couldn't do it for 21 days and asked me to communicate with other parties. So politely I wrote back and telling them, I've informed you, it's a highway issue. They readdressed it and all of a sudden that it's now been removed. So all I'm saying is I think we sometimes get a standard first letter, but I think we have to sort of do that extra to, yeah. And I've written back today to say, well, thankfully, common sense has prevailed.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike.
Lovely, thank you.
Yeah. So that's the end of the clerk's report, and now it's planning, and I'd like to ask our chair of planning, Dave, to take over.
Right, hello. Right, firstly. Well,
The first one is just to approve the minutes of the...
Yes, Brian, sorry, I've got so many bits of paperwork and I've been at that. Yes, can we approve the minutes, please, of last week's meeting of the 13th?
So Mike's proposing. Roy is seconding. Thank you.
All those in favour?
All in favour.
Carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. They're approved.
Right, delegated decisions. Planning 19th of April 2021. This is caravan at Linfield Stables, granted. Number 3, Sparrow Pot, Old Seaview Lane, granted. Land adjacent to Parkview, Bullen Road, refused. Seaspray, Dover Road, Seaview, granted. Old Fort, Esplanade, Seaview, granted. Flat 2, Madeira House, Madeira Road, Seaview, split. Cherigrin, Old Seaview Lane, Seaview, refused. Number 1, Cause Avenue, Nettlestone, refused. Buccaneers and Alcantara, Ferry Road, granted. Old Fort, Esplanade, Seaview, granted. Land between Ferner Close Road and Priory Road, this is a tree works. Granted. Harcourt Sands Holiday Park, again tree works, granted. Number 6, Sand Cove Rise, Seaview, granted. Applications for consideration. Only 2 due to last week's meeting. Right, the first one is Sandycroft, Blewett Avenue, Seaview. Now, there's quite a lot of paperwork with this one, but basically, they're keeping the old structure with a slight increase in size. The roof height's staying the same. And I've got to say, looking through it, I've had quite a thorough look at this afternoon because it's quite hard to decipher the scale off the drawings. But having read through it, the roof height remains the same. But I've got to say, I think overall, it's a vast improvement. But I have concerns about, with it being, we're in the conservation area, and I have concerns about these terraces again. And with the location of the terrace, it was quite hard to determine off these drawings, finding it. The terrace is going to be in the corner, which directly overlooks Warren's boatyard, and that viewpoint from the building there towards Warren's and across Blewett Avenue, and also the other corner over to Seafield Road, because of its location on that corner. And I just find, with that, with the position of that, I find it a bit strange. And I'm just a little bit concerned, because with it being in the conservation area as well, I believe we refused one last week at last week's meeting. We wasn't happy with it. The one on the corner of Old Seaview Lane. And I feel this is similar. But apart from that, I don't really know what we can object to it on. And any opinions?
There's no overlooking issues, Dave, is there?
There is, Barry, and it actually states that in the application. But their statement for it is, it doesn't overlook anything any more than what was there before. It's but it does in a sense, because this with the balcony now, that balcony wasn't there previous, and they're overlooking remarks really related to the two existing dormers. And I think with this, Barry, I just find it a little bit strange. It's just my opinion. And I think, and I always talk and give an honest opinion from my view. If that was my house, I personally wouldn't want that balcony on it there. But I do know that these balconies do seem to be popular throughout Seaview. But I just find the location of it being on that corner, and obviously the height with the new build is going to just overlook the fence, and I'm going to feel that they're pretty close to the pavement and looking down.
Yeah.
I'm just concerned for the houses opposite in Seafield Road and those on the other side of Blewett Avenue before it hits the Esplanade there, you know.
I think Roy's trying to say something.
Roy, you're muted. Have we got any lip readers tonight? Because I think there's some gold here, but we can't.
No, we've had apologies from the lip reader.
Are you there, Roy?
Still.
Dave, you know when he gets on, he's going to say, no, I've got no opinion.
He can hear you.
I know.
Victoria to the rescue.
Yeah, that's all.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, finish this one, Roy.
Yeah. Right?
Sorry, mate, I'm joking. You carry on.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's just a street scene. I mean, it's going to be a hell of a change there, because we've got a continuous run of 12, 13 white clad houses with balconies. They look super. And this is really going to change the whole aspect of looking at them. I'm amazed there's been no objections from anywhere. I mean,
there's not on the website.
Objections don't do any good. But has there been any objections?
No.
No comments.
Any comment is from Island Roads.
Yeah.
Is that all?
Yeah.
That was all. Yeah.
I think
the other problem with that, Roy, I think you're right to say that what you're saying, but from the other thing that's not apparent from the, well, is apparent from the drawings, because it's a single story structure, you can't actually see a lot of the facade from the road, because it's all behind, it's all hidden behind the brick wall that's there, the stone wall. So I don't know where we go with that one, but I agree. I feel it's out of character really with what's there.
It's going to put itself right on the corner. It's going to be really overlooking the corner of that road now. So it hasn't been noticed before. And I do agree, it does need something doing. It doesn't look very good and hasn't done for a long, long time. But I can't offer any other options to it.
You know,
substantial increase, isn't it? It's a significant increase in size.
You're really going to notice it when you're driving past it in future, when it's finished, or if it gets passed.
I think the important part also is, like we did at the last planning meeting, is as it's in a conservation area, We ought to make a comment to ask the conservation officer to look at it, because he's the qualified person that can make extra comments that we haven't got the expertise on.
I think you're right there, Mike.
You could, again, you could propose support it contingent on the conservation officer approving of the design. Is that what you want to...
And agreeing to Island Road's comments as well, I think.
Yeah, I think that's good. What do you think, Dave?
I think, I agree. It's I think it's out of keeping. There's a provision by Island Roads, and because they're losing a parking space there, although the slots there at the moment for the two vehicles, they're saying wasn't suitable due to drainage, etc., etc. But they've made a provision in their conclusion is the proposals envisaged in this application have implications affecting the highway network, and therefore, in order to comply with policies DM2, Design and Equality, DM13, Green Infrastructure, DM17 and SP7, Core Strategy 1, it says provision K01, parking for a single vehicle. And basically all it's saying is they want there, the use hereby permitted shall not commence until space has been laid out within the site as detailed on drawing number, blah, 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 for the parking of a single vehicle, and drained and surfaced in accordance with details that have been submitted to and approved by the local planning authority.
Yeah, parking on that corner is very, very important because it does get congested.
Well, we're saying, Roy, we've lost one space, but it says for one vehicle to be parked. And it then says the space shall not thereafter be used for any purpose other than that approved in accordance with this condition. So I just think we should mention that as well.
So we can say proposed.
Brian, just a second. I think Kevin would like just to say something, if you don't mind, Dave.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I'd just like to point out to you all that actually there's a very simple way of dealing with some of these issues, and this is precisely one of them. Because the council state, and Island Road is quoting it there, I think, that if you're going to add rooms, then you have to add
parking.
Off-street parking accordingly. And I know in the discussions that you've had quite a lot over the last few sessions this year, where you haven't wanted the proposal that's there. One that comes to mind is when you were considering in Ferry Road, where they were actually blocking off some of the parking that did exist.
Yeah. But
there is a criteria for it. And I have passed this on to Barry and Brian because I just happened to pick it up when I was looking at something else. I thought, wow, that makes it a simple judgment for you, because just like Arnhem Roads have, if they're not protecting the parking spaces, then you can just object on those grounds. So if people are adding bedrooms, then actually there's a criteria that says you have to have X amount of parking. And I think that would ease your judgments when you're looking at these things, because parking, especially in that area, you know, the area of Seaview, would have stopped quite a lot of the overdevelopment that's happened over the years by just incorporating.
And there's definitely a precedent. We've objected on parking many times while I've been here.
Yeah, exactly.
Ones in that area. So
I think if you get consistent in that, absolutely. I just wanted to throw that in.
Could we say, no, I appreciate that, Kevin. So could we say something along the lines that if they didn't increase the footprint by 10%, a provision could be made for the two cars that have been there at the moment? Because as well, there's another argument for when you look at it, Kevin, they're just encroaching again a bit more towards the boundary. That may not affect the parking that side, I don't know, but it looks, when you look at the plot, there's clearly space within the plot for two vehicles. And I think you've made a very valid point there, you know.
Okay then. Anybody else got anything to say on that? Dave, do you want to put forward a form of words for a proposal?
Well, I'd like to propose that we're happy to go with it, pending, as Mike said, if we could have an officer have a look at it with the concerns we have over the balcony, if anyone else has concerns.
Remember, it's the conservation officer.
Yes. And I would also like to raise the point what Kevin's made, that we'd like to try and see the provision made for two vehicles to be parked there still, because I think parking can be a problem, particularly in the summer, peak season. It's just a problem again.
Parking for two vehicles, okay, as well.
So that's the proposal. Somebody like to second that? Mike?
I'll second that.
All right, Roy.
Yeah.
Then we need a vote.
Okay. Carried, thank you.
Right, the second one and final one. This is number 1 and 2, Sea Whispers Rope Walk. Again, this lies within the conservation area, but it's not a listed building. And I must say from the front, I think this is a stunning property. This looks lovely. It's this one is demolition of a single-storey extension and terrace, and it's proposed single-storey extension with terrace and privacy screen. Now, again, we see these time and time again, and I've got to say, at the back, it would be a vast improvement. There's no two ways about that. The little old extension out the back and tidying up. There is a similar thing with a terrace. I wouldn't call what was there a terrace. I would call what was there a balcony. But basically, they're just increasing the footprint of the balcony, of what they're now calling a terrace. And I've looked at this from all elevations, and I don't want to sound, I'm not familiar with this. What I must say, I'm not familiar with anything that's out the back of this property there at Rope Walk. But due to its location and being at the back, I don't feel this is the same as the one we've just spoken about. Because I don't want to seem hypocritical when I'm talking about the terrace. It's now again, looking at all the elevations and the plans, the existing and the proposed, I feel this is a vast improvement. And I'm happy to support this one, but at the same time, let's have your views, please.
It doesn't affect parking. It's not an enormous increase, but a significantly better use of the space.
Yeah. It.
So yeah. I would think there wasn't any reason to object, but yeah. Only to support. I don't know whether do we still need to ask the conservationist officer to come and look, or is that irrelevant in this case, Mike?
I don't think that's going to affect it.
I mean, all you can look at is just to make sure that it does cover the continued reasons of conservation area.
Yeah, it's a valid point.
That support subject to conservation officer approval again.
Yeah. Somebody want to propose that?
Yeah, happy to.
Okay, seconder. And then
right.
Vote then, please.
Okay.
Thank you very much, everyone.
That's it. Plan is over.
Thank you very much, Dave. Right, hang on. What's new? Shuffle and paper. So we come to reports. We haven't got our ward councillor here, unfortunately. So we'll move on. Let us turn and CVO. Community partnership.
So there is an update on the tree planting, which is that apart from some what are they, silver birches that were being planted at the school, which they've decided there are more than they need, everything has been planted. So the silver birches that the school are happy with have been planted. The trees have been planted in Sirius Close. I think they had help of one youngster and one elderly older person. And the succession oaks have been planted up at the recreation grounds. So apart from, I think, I'm not quite sure what's been decided about the spare silver birches, but other than that, everything's been done. And I think we're looking at continuing with this with the Woodland Trust, which is really good. As far as events go, there was a small but very appealing and successful Easter bonnet parade on Zoom on Easter Sunday. It was actually delightful, actually, wasn't it, Vilma? And so that's happened. There isn't, as I think we said last time, there isn't going to be a May Fair, and various people are looking at sorting out a party on the prom and the church and community partnership combined fate. So that's where we are with things.
Hey, Becky, thank you very much. Seagrove Pavilion Trust, I'd like to invite Kevin to say some words.
But I'll mute then. Yeah, right. So obviously we've got our roadmap in place now that fits with the changes in the government rules. So we've been operational with outside sport as of March. That's the football club and the Petanque. But as of this week, we can now be fully open in the same way that we were last year, with the same COVID addendum that we produced at that stage, because we can create a COVID secure environment by means of the fogger that we bought last year. So two of our groups are starting this week. Carpet bowls can be played inside if it's too cold for Petanque outside. And we can have up to 12 people in the pavilion, socially distanced, as it were. So that's where we are now. Our aim is June 21st. Obviously, we can open to whatever the new normal is going to be. We have decided we are still going to probably fog the pavilion at the end of each day, because it just seems quite a sensible, logical thing to do now. And I think a lot of places, hygiene-wise, are going to increase their hygiene as a result of the measures that we've now got in place, and we will consider whatever's required to do that. And the majority of our groups will be in place by the 21st, but because a lot of them shut down in August, some of the larger groups, like the Bridge Club, for example, are going to start up again in September rather than starting up for a few weeks and shutting down again. So that's where we are.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate that. Nettleston Residents Association, Dave.
Nothing as far as I know.
Okay, well, same with you, Dave. I walk,
right. Nothing to report from I walk. It's just the same old, same old. Nothing new this month.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, because of Purdah, isn't it, Dave? They're keeping it on the down low.
It's been very quiet. I believe we all get the emails from them. I think the main thing from them was this thing about the grant money, which we spoke about earlier.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Dave. Right, we've got some words from Maureen. Maureen Hegarty. Maureen, would you like to say a few words? I think you're muted at the moment, Maureen. This is to do with green spaces, everyone. You're on mute, Maureen.
Needs a phone call.
Vilma, you haven't got her number handy, have you?
Ask her to unmute.
Maureen, you're muted.
Do you want me to ring her?
Would you, Vilma, if you can, yeah.
She probably won't answer. She's on the parish council meeting.
I'll give her a call.
Okay.
Move on to your next topic.
We'll wait.
Yeah, we'll wait. Well, hang on a minute.
Because there are agendaed items that we're going to do resolutions on.
She's been wandering around looking at the screen to see when it was her turn to go, and she wasn't ready. Dear. And she's gone to answer the phone, I expect.
Yeah.
Can I ask if, as Reg, have you turned in?
He's not here.
No, he's not here.
I just wondered whether or not. He did say he would try and make the meeting, so just wondered if he'd managed to get back in time.
No.
Sorry, you're on mute. They can't hear you. Have you pressed your microphone?
at the bottom of your screen.
Oh, yes, that's it. Brilliant.
This morning.
Brilliant.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now,
but I'm on the phone to you.
No, no, we all can, Vilma. It's all good. All good.
Thanks, Vilma.
Okay.
Okay, Maureen.
Thanks, Vilma.
Sorry about that.
Don't worry. You dive straight in.
Yes. So you can all hear me. You can see me now.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Well, just a very brief introduction for people who don't know me. I've been a resident in Seaview for 40 years this August, and I'm very interested as a volunteer countryside officer in matters relating to the environment and so on. So I've got particularly interested in the question of provision of green spaces. It's not just their provision, but it's also the way they can be designated, which has got very definite advantages, and protected, of course. And this is terribly important in view of the current policies, where there's so much building going on, and the benefits that relate to green spaces, I think, are comprehensive, not just in terms of environment and economic and social, but also in terms of health benefits. And I think the coronavirus has shown a lot of us some of that. So I know that you are all very aware of the green spaces, because I've read your parish plan, and I've read your planning, subsequent supplemental planning. And what I have done is have a look at some criteria for actually setting up a proper designation to recognise a green space. You're probably all aware of this as well, but when I read all the criteria, I felt that this really related very much to my favourite green space in the Seaview area, which is the two fields, the donkey field and the farmer's field above it. And of course, these two fields are privately owned, but they operate just like a green space would, because they've got footpaths, bridleways all around them. They are completely open in the sense that everybody can enjoy them. And they're such an integral part of Seaview, a natural division between Seaview and Nettleston, and a green lung, you might describe it as, running down the centre, down from the conservation area in Seaview itself, walking up, along, and then down to Seagrove Bay. It's absolutely wonderful. So, thinking about it, how to get a designation, well, this is where it starts to get complicated, because you can only get a designation either through the medium of a review of an existing plan, or through the local neighbourhood plan. And I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you settled for a parish plan initially, which was adopted in 2013, and then you subsequently did a supplementary planning document where you focused, and you actually mentioned several green spaces alongside the one that I've just been talking about. The people who did neighbourhood plans, there's only actually five councils have got that. And this is Benbridge, Brading, Bryston, Freshwater and Gurnard. I'm not quite sure that Gurnard has been finally adopted, but certainly the others have. And they were adopted between 2014 and 17. And I understand that these neighbourhood plans become part of the Island Development Plan. And I'm very conscious that your document, the supplementary planning document, which I thought was excellent and very detailed, a lot of work went into that, was actually submitted in 2017, but has not yet been adopted. And some inquiries were made for me last week, and we got the, as to what was happening to it, really. And we were told by the council that it wasn't possible. The last update was 2018, and because of the work that the council is doing on the island planning strategy, that is the priority of the work that they're doing, and they don't have sufficient officers available to deal with looking at our plan, and probably others as well, I would think, and that they would look at it when a particular stage had been reached in their work on the planning strategy. Now, what really bothers me is that the neighbourhood plans that have been accepted and adopted, they will automatically go in as part of the planning strategy because they become the development plans. And but the supplementary planning document was also a material consideration as far as planning is concerned, and yet we've not had the chance for anybody to even look at it, much less adopt it.
Maureen, could I just come in there, please?
Yes.
You're quite right what you're saying about the neighbourhood plans, and we've agreed through the parish now already. We're going to organise one of these and set one up and put one in place. But I've spoken with the Isle of Wight Council, and I've actually been advised it's not for us at the moment. It's not a good time for us to commence with a neighbourhood plan until they've finished the core strategy and got a new supplementary planning document in place, because whatever we set up now may not be valid, and they're quite expensive to set in place, so it's important we do it right. But that's the situation with the Isle of Wight Council. But for what it's worth, I utterly agree with you. And I think, and we push for this, and we're trying to set this up now. But we've put it on hold because we really need to hear from the Isle of Wight Council. And until we reach that point, we're between the devil and the mouth of the sea.
Yeah, well, I was quite interested to read that Benbridge actually got funds from the council to set up their neighbourhood plan.
Just and we will.
On the side, and you would as well.
Can I just come in on? Can I come in, Maureen, just to clarify where the supplementary planning document that you're talking about? If we had produced a neighbourhood plan at that stage instead of the parish plan and addendum that we chose, or that the council chose to do, it would be in exactly the same place as the supplementary document is now, in that the council would have held on to it and it wouldn't be passed. The supplementary document carries exactly the same weight in planning terms as a neighbourhood plan does. It has to go through exactly the same process. Hence, until the Isle of Wight Council pass it, right, it can't be then put in a referendum to the parish to vote on. And once that vote is carried out, then it becomes part of the Isle of Wight Council's and our own planning guidelines. Yeah. So they both carry the same weight. So the fact that it is sitting there now, it will get through quicker than we can produce a neighbourhood plan.
Yeah, I think what I understand what you're saying, and I thought that it was probably overambitious to even think about doing a neighbourhood plan at this stage. I just wondered if there was any way that you could respond to the email that the council has sent regarding the supplementary planning document. It has been there since 2017, and to see if there could be any recognition, because in terms of the criteria to set up a green space, it can be done through a review of an existing plan, which probably is a better option at this stage, from what you've just said, than trying to set up a neighbourhood plan now.
Can I, excuse me, Maureen, to interrupt you. I think Dilma wanted to say something.
No, Harry, can I just say as well, Barry, this is very much...
working group.
Yeah, it's creeping over into... it's discussion, it's a lot of research and talking type stuff. We can always put it on a future agenda and make it an actual item.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to come back round to we're going to do a neighbourhood plan. But yeah. It's your choice. But it's just, this isn't really what the reporting section's for.
No, partly,
I think I misunderstood what you'd asked for. I'm sorry, Barry, when you wanted to put on the agenda. I must apologise. But we'd need to be better prepped for this.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll let Phil have a word and Maureen can have her final word and we'll move on.
I think where Maureen is coming from is that, as we know, the SPD that we produce, which I was a major part of back 4 years ago, is sitting there gathering dust. Now, we know that, and there's not we can do about it at the moment. The council are looking to rejig and look at everything in June. Whether that actually happens is another question. I'm sure... Dave knows more about that than I do, but what I think Maureen is trying to get to is, in the interim, what can we do as a parish to protect and designate areas of beauty, which are mentioned in the SPD? Is there anything we can do at this juncture to say, hey, here we are, lovely village, lovely parish, what can we do to save our green spaces? And that's really, I think, if I'm right, Maureen, where we're coming from at this moment. Until I know you're discussing a neighbourhood plan, and that's absolutely marvellous, but that will take a year or two to produce.
I looked at everything and thought that it was overambitious to think about a neighbourhood plan, but I found that there is the possibility of looking at an existing plan, which has been adopted, and we've got this problem with the SPD, which has been sitting there for a long time without being looked at. And I'm saying, isn't it possible to go back to the council and say, surely we can look at this SPD now and try and get that adopted, and then we're in a position to say something about the green space. We could go ahead then with a designation.
Okay, Maureen.
I'm going to for future agenda items, councillors, isn't it?
And it is, Brian. Okay. Could I just come in with, though, which is the concern is we need to wake up to, because I have this chat with the Isle of Wight Council, other parishes throughout the island at the IWOG meetings, and also with Bob Seeley, who is advocating to be the great saviour of greenfield sites across the island. This isn't the case. Unfortunately, when pressured, the Isle of Wight Council, all we get back is we cannot stop landowners and developers submitting planning applications. And unfortunately for us, as a parish council, we have nothing we can do to stop it. It's only the Isle of Wight Council that can stop it. And they are more worried about going to court than defending the green fields.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop it there, I'm afraid.
We have to wake up to.
Thank you very much. Okay.
May I?
Cut the words, Becky, please.
I was just going to say, if can we not put in an application for it as a community asset, an asset of community value?
We can try, the same as we're doing on Eddington Road.
I mean, if we're talking about something as on a sort of pending...
I'm sure that will be a fine agenda item for another meeting.
Yes,
indeed. If people want to go down that route, we'll find out before the next meeting whether it even works. So,
item number eight, insurance renewal.
Yeah, so, councillors, you'll have seen that it's coming up to our annual renewal time, and one thing that Councillor Ward mentioned before was looking into what they call an LTA or a long-term agreement, and talking to Zurich Insurance. If we were to look at I asked them about it, and the options are a year's renewal would be £839, but if we went for a three-year plan agreement, it would be £809. It saves us £90 or £30 per year over the 3 years. Or 5 years would be £779 a year, which is £300 in total, which is £60 a year. So the option is, which type of renewal would you like to go for? a 1 year, a 3 year, or a 5 year?
Reliable.
We have to renew it. We have to renew it legally. We have to have insurance. So we're going to have one of them. Yes.
I think what you've got to look at is the current situation that we're in, the effects of COVID on insurance companies. Zurich are a long-standing organisation, well established, especially with councils. You know, many councils, and normally insurance goes up every year, especially if there's going to be a lot of claims. And
carry on.
Thought would be if you could tie it for 5 years, knowing that it's not going to increase, that does give you peace of mind, especially in Brian's budget.
It would be good for planning purposes, that's for sure, knowing how much it's going to be for 5 years. That is really, yeah.
I will put a counter argument to that and say that you could shop around for the best quote next year.
That can happen, but don't forget, we're in a specialised scenario.
You don't know what the claims are going to be, Mike. Mm. No one knows what the claims are going to be. So it's no different. I've found for the last 4 or 5 years, my car insurance has progressively been getting cheaper or standing still. And I just had an email from Churchill this week, we got a rebate.
In this type of field, there's only a couple of providers.
Yeah.
There's Zurich and BHIB. As far as I know, they're the only two providers. So there's not a lot of shopping around to do, just to put it in context. It's not like go to compare the market and have a look.
I've been involved in housing associations where you have building insurance, and it is the ones that deal with, you used to have municipal, but unfortunately they stop. There is a very extreme limited market on this type of business.
Seems sensible if we can get a discount to go for longer, especially if there's only two options and this is and everybody knows that Zurich is a good insurer. Can't see why we would.
Yeah, it's one of the things, looking into it, talking to other clerks from other councils who have both, and people are fairly complimentary about both, and they tend to find they're almost exactly the same in the pricing that they come up with, and there's not a lot between them. But where people tend to save money is, as Mike has suggested, is by going for long-term agreements. That's the only place where they normally tend to save any money.
And they can't change the terms on us midway through and all that.
Yeah, I'd be happy to propose that we go for 5 years. I don't know how everybody else
feels about it. If not, we'll default to a year because we've got to let them know because we have to get in place for next month. So, yeah.
I think it's a better use of public money.
Yeah,
getting the best value.
Well, an analogy would be our long-term agreement with Clean White Clean, who gave us a good discount for the longer term.
Yeah,
and if we're happy with the service. Contract.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. You're proposing that, Becky?
Yeah, I'm proposing that.
Which one are you proposing, Becky?
I'm proposing that we go for 5 years. I can't see why we wouldn't.
Yeah.
I'll second it.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. All those in favour, please.
Okay, carried. Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you, councillors.
The annual parish council meeting and annual parish meeting. To consider the time and location of the annual parish meeting on the 17th of May and the subsequent parish meeting on the 25th of May. Just to put a little bit on that, the vice chairman and myself and the parish clerk had a meeting with Sylvia Beardsmore. A couple of weeks ago, I can't remember when it was.
Exactly. It was, yeah.
Yeah, and because we've got to be COVID friendly, we need a large space. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get the Masonic Hall, and even then that wouldn't be suitable. And so we descended upon the church and had a good look around and reconnoitred it. And we can put some due diligence in place. We can control the entrance. People will come with masks. I'm hoping that, I haven't asked you yet, Kevin, but I'm hoping we could borrow the fogger for that around that evening, and do all the things that we've got to do to make it as safe as possible. And we thought a figure of somewhere between 35 and 40 people all sitting safely apart.
If some people are in couples, it will make it easier because they can actually sit together, can't they? So we can get more people in. But assuming everybody who came along was single, and not in the same bubble, doesn't matter if they're single, doesn't matter if they're not in the same bubble. I don't care if you're married to someone, as long as they're all in, if people are in separate
when you're
bubbles.
In the hole, stop digging.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So anyway, so that was what, I'd like to put it forward as a recommendation and what you guys think.
It's one of those things, Barry, where we can say that the plan for now is that it'll be on the 17th of May, we'll be at St. Peter's Church at 7 p.m. for the annual parish council meeting, which will be the first one of the new administration. And then we'll be there a week and a day later on the 25th of May at 6 p.m. for the annual parish meeting. Subject to any other, because obviously in COVID times, you never know what's going to happen and what's going to change. But we can just say that at the moment, and what I might do is I might actually start putting that on the website now to get that out there nice and early, just to give people.
I don't think we can improve on what we've decided, really.
No, we've got no other venues.
No, we've got nothing, unless we want to socially distance on the football field.
Yeah, and pray it's not raining, or take umbrellas, I don't know.
I realise it's not bothered.
Yeah, have shooting practice. What's up?
So that was the update on that, everyone. And Dave, I'm going to ask you to take on this next item.
The planning training.
That's it. Planning application training.
Well, this may help us with what we just put off to speak about later with regarding the SPD and all that. It's spoke to a lady, Martha James. She's offering a course all councillors can attend for a flat fee of £150, and that'll be done via a Zoom meeting. And she's going to discuss to try and help us with finding ways, little ducks and dives and little niches within this system, which may aid us to help slow down some of this planning. And I thought it was a good idea because we're all a bit green. None of us have got the insight of what these people have, or the qualifications that these people have.
And I just can you give us the credentials of this lady?
We can look. I'll tell you what she dealt with. She actually dealt with those at the Wishing Well Close, Sally. I think she got that pushed through, and she was actually trying to get the vineyard pushed through for Conrad, the new winery in that. So I've found out since. I was talking to someone over at Benbridge Harbour, and apparently she's dealing with a case there where they're trying to get four houses built next to the old golf course by what's the sailing club there? There's two sailing clubs over there.
Brading Haven and Benbridge Sailing Club.
I think, is it Brading Haven just by the old golf course there?
It's slightly nearer.
It's that location there. Someone's trying to get four houses in there. And I believe she's dealing with that. And she deals with these sort of difficult-to-deal-with applications where people are trying to get these holiday lets.
Yeah, she's a Chartered Town Planner, isn't she, Dave?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I didn't look into it that much, Brian. At the time, I was just looking for some advice. But we can double-check it.
We do need to know what her qualifications are.
An MRTPI.
Yeah.
I don't know what these mean, but that's the question. That's her... I'm not a planner, I don't know, but that's the...
Say that again.
MRTPI, hang on. MRTPI.
All right, well, we can look into that, can't we?
Yeah, she's a she's a chartered town planner. Not certified, but chartered, in fact. A chartered town planner.
And I mean, she's actually one of the people that can help us if we go down the road of a neighbourhood plan, of forming the neighbourhood plan, because a lot of them won't do it. So we need to look into her anyway.
So you can, Dave, you could propose going ahead with the training and have a vote and see how it goes.
Lynn's got her hand up.
It's member of the Royal Town Planning Institute.
Oh, thank you, Lynn. There we go. Thank you. That's what it means.
A quiz question for Thursday.
Oh. Let me dial in for one question, Barry. There we are.
I have to say I'd like to know more about this woman and her angle before we agree to use her, because there are lots of people that could give. I mean, I know we can get somebody through Ryde Town Council for them who actually does planning courses. So, I'd like to know.
Well, I'm happy with that. At this stage, an extra month before the meeting makes no difference. So,
if you like, we'll leave the motion there for you to do more research.
So, put her on hold.
Yeah. I think we should.
Okay, everybody happy with that?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Right, so the Pool Park flowerbed. To discuss and agree, care in the gardens to populate the flowerbed. You may remember I made a few frantic phone calls to some of you last month to get it done, but actually plan B for Barry wasn't required because John was very cooperative, if that's even the right word. But it's just a question of really of voting the money in. Isn't that right, Brian?
So, yeah, just for the record, the proposal is... Overall, it'll be £3,200 on actual plants, £640 on labour, which is £3,840 in total. And we have budgeted for £4,000, so it's within our budget, which is ideal from a budgetary point of view. There's been a lot of work gone into this from Lynn and Sally, yourself as well, Barry. Lots of people have contributed towards this and come up with some very nice and interesting plans. So. That's the background to it, I think, Barry.
That's it, yeah.
And the plants are actually, and there's no pressure, they've actually got them ready to go literally tomorrow or Wednesday at the nursery, but we don't have to go ahead with this. They will sell them at the nursery if we don't want it. But they've got them there because it's the ideal last sort of moment to get them in the ground, basically.
Well, I mean, if we've had that research done by, you know, our local people and they're happy with that, I think, you know, I'm sure everyone is wanting to see, you know, it's a lovely area, but poor people are going there. So if we don't do it soon, we're going to miss the season. So I think
I propose that we go ahead. It's within our budget
I'll be happy to second that.
The research. I think we should go ahead.
I propose around the seconder.
Your second, Matt.
Yeah. Mike proposed it. Becky seconded it.
The
other way around.
Okay, all those in favour then, please.
Oh, that's carried. Thank you.
Lovely. Sally, Seaview Hotel toilets. Sally? You're muted.
Yeah, sorry about that. My supper's just arrived as well.
The Seaview Hotel. No.
You've got the next four items.
I know. Just really quickly, there were members of the staff doing some enabling work to the sort of patio area about 2 weeks ago, and I just had a little chat with one of them, and they are opening on May the 17th, and that's when they said verbally that the public toilets would be available again. And I did ask if the signs, front and rear, would reappear, and the lady said verbally they would. I suppose because I'm moving off this parish council, I would just like somebody to keep an eye on that and make sure that actually happens, because that's a really important resource.
Yeah,
I'm happy to do that because I see them quite regularly being in the village.
Thank you.
It's been a nightmare this last week, actually. I can't tell you the number of people who have come into the shop desperate with small children needing to go to the loo. I think it's... awful that they haven't been open, especially since they've been doing work. They could have had the toilets open.
Sally can have her supper, does anybody...
But the next item is not Sally.
I know, but I was going to say, if Sally continues with her items and we have that at the end of Sally. Does that get everybody...
Let's just get through things.
Okay, then. All right. Okay. So, we discussed and agree the quote from Clean White Clean to renovate the toilet walls in Seagrove Bay.
Yeah, so just basically, as we knew from last year when the renovation work was done, there were still patches and things on the wall. The initial job had not been very good of painting the walls, and it's been peeling off a lot over the winter when it's been damp, and now it's become very patchy indeed. And so Clean White Cleaning, who are there, I've asked them, because also it's drying out now, so we're getting to the period where it's dry enough again to do something to it. But we don't ever want to fully shut the toilets, and they have proposed, they have a, I'm just muting some of the music coming through. They have proposed that they can actually do it in stages, so it's never actually shut. There'll be the back toilet done on one day with the other bits open, then it'll be the corridor done only when it's closing time, so never actually during the day when people are going in there, and then the other side. So they need to let it dry, obviously, but they can do all that overnight, and they will do it with the minimum of disruption, because of course they've got the keys, they work there, they do all the stuff, and if obviously if things happen with it going forward, they will maintain and touch it up as well, like we have got a pup pool, which is handy with it. So that's where that came from, and we've cost £635. There's no VAT, they don't charge VAT, and we have got like maintenance money in the budget for that sort of thing.
So is this something can I just ask, is this something that's likely to happen again next year, or is it something that's going to be ongoing?
No, hopefully if they do a really good job of it, because it was a bad job in the first place, if they do a good job of it, it should be much more resilient, and we shouldn't have big chunks of it coming off again in the future. Yeah. I think the only bits that are really staying in place are the bits that Councillor Adams repaired for us last year.
So we need to get it done as soon as possible before we get really busy, don't we?
I think before
May, really.
No,
I think the important part is we've had this contractor here doing the cleaning, and they've got that, they understand the do-it-yourself as well, painting. And as the clerk has said, Brian, is that they've got the key there, they can do it within the hours, and the quicker it's done, we'll get the toilets done to what should have been the standard when we took it over.
Mike, I need to come in there, because from what I've witnessed at the toilets here, I believe we're going to forever and a day have a problem with the walls in that toilet. And what I'd like to do with the quote there, I think we need to investigate that further, because it's patchy, because what I done when I was trying to bring it up to scratch, I spotted the walls with a stain block, because we've got stains coming through the brickwork and the sand and cement. A lot of that is caused by the simple fact that it is just a single skin wall. And I honestly believe we're going to have a lot of problems over the years with those walls with regards to staining and that. And what, rather than rush into it and spend that money, I've no objection to spending the money on it, but I think we need to just research on it. Does it need initially a complete coat of stain block and then a coat of paint on top of that? And it's something I'd just like to look at. I've no objection to it being done, and I've certainly no objection to that £630 cost. It seems very reasonable. But I think we need to just look at it a little bit deeper, what we're going to get for that £630 and what guarantee we're going to get with it, because we've got problems there with that staining, and it's going to continue.
So is that something you're willing to look into for us, Dave, in the next sort of week, so that we can then go ahead?
Certainly. It's not a difficult thing to do. I can do it.
Brian, Dave, we could delegate it, so we don't have to put it off. It's a sort of thing where Councillor Adams and I go away and consult with them so we can be sure, which is what we've done before with the maintenance there. If you're all up for it, you can propose, that's what happens.
I'd like to propose that, because I think that we'd like to get it done as soon as possible, but obviously with somebody knowing that it's being done properly. Obviously,
I'll be happy to second that.
Okay. I'm happy to do that. It's just
thank
a
you.
Case of
thank you, Dave.
Make a call and talk
we'll
into
a vote on that then,
a professional paint job.
Just let me make a note of it first, Barry.
You need a faster pen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So
Becky proposed it, Mike seconded it.
Thanks very much.
Right.
All those in so that's carried.
Sally said, I saw Sally put up a thumb.
Right. So David, I saw something else.
Thank you, Becky.
Thank you. Seagrove Bay Pavilion.
Sally, it's you again, I'm afraid. And this is to discuss the proposed pop-up restaurant at Priory Bay.
Is it all right without my face?
Yeah, of course.
I think this issue has sort of rather gone away a bit, but you may have seen that there's been a little bit of enabling work that's taken place near the left-hand pavilion or wedding pavilion at Priory, which is owned by Andrew Palmer. And I would just like us to keep a watching brief on that, because I would hate that that be developed permanently. I think a pop-up for the season is probably rather good and, you know, quite appreciated, but it needs keeping an eye on, I feel. And I also wonder if they might need planning permission. I don't know.
That's what I was wondering.
He's quite a shrewd operator, is Andrew, and I know, certainly from talking to him sometimes when I've been down walking the dog, that he retained quite a lot of the property when he sold the main part of the hotel. And he's got a wedding licence and such things. But not speaking to him since you got involved in this particularly, Sally, but that enabling work down there looks to me, and I'm happy to be wrong, like he's just replacing what was already worn out and damaged. That slipway area in front, the hard standing. But you're quite right, we should keep an eye on it, because we don't want a 365 cafe down there, do we?
Just to be clear, I walk around there sometimes, not as often as Sally, I don't think, but now and again I go around there when the tides are right and that when I'm out. Are we talking about, Sally, the big timber shed with the slipway bit there, near there?
Yes, there's two, aren't there? It's the left one nearest the sort of access to the hotel, if you like.
Yeah, the other one belongs to the Garnets.
I was going
to
say that the right-hand side one is privately owned, so.
Belongs to the Garnets.
Well, so as we're looking at the seashore, it's the left-hand shed.
No, if you're looking up
to the seashore.
Yeah, it's the left-hand one.
Yeah.
It's the one in better condition and slightly larger.
Yeah, it looks. Yeah, I would have said the largest one, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, can I say something very quickly? It's the same girl planning to do the pop-up restaurant that did it 2 years ago, and it was extremely successful for the short period of time that she was open. I think it was enjoyed by a lot of visitors. It gave something on the beach that people could go to. My slight concern, and I could be very wrong, is that I've heard that she is possibly intending to make it an extremely expensive restaurant. And a lot of local people who would welcome somewhere that we could go, I don't think they're going to be toilet facilities there. That's a slight drawback. Where they could go and get a coffee, or they could go and have a glass of wine. But I have heard on the jungle drums, which you know are very loud in Seaview, that it's going to be an extremely expensive restaurant.
Vilma, I've got an update to that since last Tuesday. I saw Emily's parents, and she's pulled out of doing it, actually, this season.
Oh, has she?
So it's not going ahead.
So, but it's going ahead with somebody else?
Well, I haven't heard that. I don't know.
It might not be going ahead at all, so we might be all wasted out.
Yeah, so just watch this space.
It might be something we still put together and do. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll shut up.
Thank you, Vilma.
Keep us posted.
Yeah.
Okay, so if that is probably going to expire naturally, we can move on to the next item, which is you again, Sally.
Yeah.
And that's to consider a handover of the parish dean audit.
Yeah, I'm happy to take over, Sally, if you like.
Oh, Becky, that's very kind of you.
That would be really helpful. I've got to a point, and I think Becky's fully up to speed, of some proposals that we'd like to make. I'm waiting for Island Rosary to come back. They said they'd do another site visit to the actual specific locations we thought we might want to tweak, and then they can cost it properly, and you can sort of sit, have a look and say yay or nay to it.
Yeah, well, since I've been helping, I mean, you've done the lion's share of the work by name, but since I'm happy to carry on.
Great.
That's great.
Thank you,
Becky. Well, so we can move straight on to the next thing. Mike, this is an update on Eddington Road.
Yeah, I mean, all is, as you saw, I continue to communicate with Chris Ashman and the councillors to get the answers to the questions that we actually submitted for the 3rd of March. They're now on the parish site, I think. So we now know what they are, and it's just highlighting in preparation to know that everyone can see what their answers were and keep monitoring the situation.
Yeah, I've put them up, Mike, so, and yeah, they're on the site now. Which is good. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Okay, Sally, Age Friendly Ireland, to discuss the future of the champion's role.
Again, I'm afraid, in a sense, I've had a bit of a short tenure on this, but Kevin asked me to pick this up on behalf of the parish council, and I just wondered if you felt this was an area that you wanted to highlight and give it a bit of theatre, if you like, that someone take this on going forward. But that's for you to decide, really.
But you don't have to be on the parish council to be the age-friendly champion. Would you not consider remaining, Sally, for a while?
Well, I could do that, yeah.
That would be, because there's no need for you to be part of the parish council, but to feed into us where necessary, and the partnership. It would be wonderful if you were willing to carry on.
Great.
Okay, if people are happy with that, I'll give that a whirl.
Thank you.
I'll just, add weight to that, as Becky has said, Sally, and as Becky is the parish representative of the community partnership, the link is always established, so it's not a problem.
So that's a very
okay. Oh, thank you, that's good.
Thank you, that's great. And so Sally again, to discuss the status of CDU and Nettleton Business Association. I beg your pardon, Nettleton.
I'm glad Vilma was here, because I don't know if it sits firmly and squarely directly under the parish council, or whether really it's part of CDU community partnership. But I feel certainly it was a conscious decision due to COVID that Nelspeth took a bit of a back seat, because we felt the businesses had enough to do to adapt and make a living. But maybe it's time to resurrect it again.
Can I ask a question? And please forgive me, everyone, if it seems a bit stupid and naive. Nelson and CBU Business, is it an actually sort of an articled association? Or, and please don't think I'm being unkind, or is it just a WhatsApp group?
Vilma, please come in, but it's a loose association of businesses in two villages.
Okay. It's not a formal business association. It's an informal business group. And it's not in any way meant to intrude on the community partnership. It's a different makeup. It was basically an idea. And I was hoping that Simon Tuckey, who was one of the instigators, could be with us this evening. He can't. To get the businesses together in Seaview so they work together. The whole idea was to say everybody knew what was going on. Initially, we had a situation where the yacht club would be having maybe 200 people coming down for one of their big events, and nobody in the village knew about it or could prepare for it. So what we said was to all the businesses in Seaview, and Charles and Linda from Nettlestone were involved at one stage initially, and also when the business was in the old post office. So we had people just working together to say, what can we do? We tried some incentives. The Yacht Club did a special lunch offer, which the North Bank were involved with, as was the Seaview Hotel, as was Lily's. And so all it's been really is to, how can we benefit the businesses of Seaview? How can we work together to make us more successful? Now, last year, nothing happened, obviously, because everything was closed. And we've had another 4 or 5 months of closure. So this summer, everybody is just busily trying to get their business back together, trying to make it work, trying to make some money, trying to get back where they were.
We did have a sort of mini Christmas evening, didn't we?
Had a mini Christmas evening. What we're hoping to do is to have a Zoom meeting at some point before, I spoke to Simon Tuckey last evening, before the season gets really underway, just to talk to people, encourage people to say it's been impossible for businesses, I think. But we will keep the Business Association going. hopefully someone will come in one day and take over the beauty salon in Pier Road. So we don't, the last thing we want is empty properties, which always look so dreadful for people. I believe that Pete Hall is doing something with the, what was the bistro or the Thai restaurant or the whatever it's been, wine bar, to do pizzas and stuff there so that we can keep the village looking as lively as possible with the few businesses that we've got left. So that's basically where Nasbar is.
Thank you very much, Wilma, and Sally, thank you to you. Okay, Brian.
Can I come in, Barry? Sorry, I've had my hand up there.
Keep moving around the screen, if only you'd keep still. Sorry, Kevin, of course you can.
That's okay. Being the expert on this matter, you ought to be aware where it actually fits the business association. The community partnership was formed out of the original business association and was there to link all the other organisations and everything together under one umbrella to do the original parish plan, and that's where community partnerships sort of came from. So the business association fits with the community partnership, and Lee and Maureen, who sit on the community partnership, sit on there representing the business group. So it's really under your umbrella, if you like, Wilma. And we've always had representatives from the business association. It used to be Mary for quite a long time, and Di before that was the chairman of the original business association. Their finances were passed over to the community partnership, and that's why that fit is there. So for clarity, that's where it fits.
Thank you very much for that, Kevin, because I didn't want to ask those questions that seemed like I just didn't know what I was talking about, but I just didn't know what I was talking about, so that's why I had to ask. Okay, thank you. Brian.
Yeah, right, so correspondence. So one thing you're all seeing was the support for High Street's Welcome Back Fund. And this is something, is a letter we received in the middle of last week from the Isle of Wight Council, where basically they're saying they're looking for parish and town councils to put forward ideas for how money can be spent in the high streets of towns and villages all around the country. So not just here, it's all around the country. So that is something for you all to have a think about. They want to know by the end of this month any suggestions. Becky?
Well, I was going to say, should we have I'd be happy to be part of a small working group or whatever. I mean, you know, I've just said we had to take over the bin situation. Well, I think we should use this opportunity to try and get some decent bins on the front and some recycling bins on the front. That's one of the things they're talking about, isn't it, as being...
Yes, that's the sort of thing they're mentioning.
The things they're mentioning. Maybe, get you know, but they were also talking about things like putting in flowers. Well, we've got lovely flowers in the village, but maybe we can... There is a possibility of closing, you know, can we close the road? Can, you know, I'd be happy to be part, if we need to do this in a hurry, I'd be happy to be part.
Yeah, well, it's this month. It was all, basically, they gave everybody less than 2 weeks to respond. But to be fair, they only just found out about the money themselves.
Yeah.
And it's not, they're not looking for detailed chapter and verse things. And it's not stuff we're going to resolve and say we're going to do that. It's just ideas. That's what
okay, so do you...
I think the important part to it is the likelihood the grant money will soon go. So the quicker you get something, the urgency that Rebecca is talking about is important. Otherwise, you could lose the boat. But you know.
Well, yeah, it's got to be urgent because they want you to respond by the end of the month. Yeah, it's got to.
Yeah.
But they're basically asking for suggestions. They're asking you to describe the sorts of things you want to spend money on. They're not promising to give you any money.
I think the bins are important, and I think as well with that, Becky, maybe we could look at not only just having some more bins, but maybe for a couple of months of the year having them emptied on a more frequent basis.
Well, that's the problem about that is the whether or not Island Roads have got the capacity to do so, as we Sally and I found out.
Yeah,
you know, having the bins doesn't necessarily mean they've got time to empty them. But I think we should get that request in now and hope for the best. I know that's a bit
wrong. It's okay. It doesn't have to be done officially or anything. If you want, Becky, between you, you can form a little working group and come up with your ideas, and we can forward them to the Isle of Wight Council, as long as we do it before the end of the month.
Okay, or just do people want to forward things to me and I'll coordinate and talk to you, or how should we do it?
That sounds good. If people want to forward our ideas to Councillor Hardy.
Good idea. Thank you, Becky.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Right. That was on. I've got a letter here from the Highways Road Safety Engineering team, which is the one confirming they're going to look into options for Solent View Road for us. We were copied onto a letter, a resident who lives in Solent View Road, who's been trying to get the concrete part replaced for a long time. He contacted Councillor Ward in the Isle of Wight Council, who told him that he was meant to get done last year, because of the pressure of COVID lockdown and sickness, it might have just been missed for that reason. And he said, please rest assured I will investigate. And we've been copied in again by the resident because they're chasing up. So that is one to look out with interest, because that doesn't seem to ever actually get done, does it, Barry? It seems to come up.
He's been on the bay of it for years, and I don't blame him. And 4 years ago when they resurfaced the lower half of Solent View Road, because it was all tarmac. And I think that the other lower half of Solent View Road came under the heading of too difficult, because it's concrete and therefore expensive.
Yep, and that seems to be what it comes down to. But then they said they were going to do it last year. But then, like Councillor Ward said,
they
made other things
anyway. COVID was coming, didn't they?
Yeah. You say new COVID was coming. Island Roads created COVID to put off doing that road, yeah.
There's a rumour.
Okay.
Suggestions.
Right, next one. Sorry, just making a note of that. We had a letter this morning from a resident who lives opposite Ansell's Copse, where he's had trouble with drainage. Apparently, he's got a drain in his garden that spouts up every so often when he thinks of something downhill, probably going down more towards your way, Barry, as the heights go down in that direction. And he's got DynaRod round, and they have rods that go 50 metres in each direction, and they can't find a blockage, so it's somewhere else. And between Southern Water and Island Roads, they've gone round and round in circles, and they can't work out where it is, and they're getting confused over who owns what. So he'd said to this gentleman, would you ask the parish council if they have any historic maps of the drains and things like that, which of course I don't. We don't seem to have anything like that. So I've replied to him today to let him know that. But I did confirm that we own Ansell's Copse if they ever need more investigation of what's going on there. Because apparently Island Rose could confirm that it's definitely connected to a drain in the middle of Ansell's Copse, which doesn't seem to be blocked, but it's connected to that, so it's definitely part of the same network. But it did make me worry a bit, you know, as a living here. I just assumed Southern Water would have a definitive map of all the public drains somewhere.
Well, they often don't. When I worked at Gun Wharf, I don't know if you know that Gun Wharf terminal was built over an old dry dock.
I'd heard that, yeah.
Yeah, so where you go into the Lynx van to drive off the boat, that's the old dry dock all concreted over. And when they were building Gunwharf Quays next door, they were building an underground car park. And it kept flooding. And they said there was a pipe going from their car park over to the sea. And I, fortunate enough, being a kid living in Portsmouth, was able to say, there's no pipe in there because that's a dry dock. But they didn't have it on the map. They thought that to be a pipe.
Brilliant.
And there wasn't. But anyway, I think what might be happening, there are a load of old field drains. Remember, this was all fields.
Yeah.
And a land drain doesn't necessarily have a connection at the other end. It just carries water away and slowly, slowly drains. If you fire a load of water down it in one go, it will back up.
Well, that makes sense, because it only affects him after a very heavy deluge. So
is probably it.
Yeah.
It's a land drain with no...
Hang on a minute. Is this a foul drain, or is it just a rainwater drain? Because if it's a foul drain, soil pipes, we know that the system can't cope when they get rain on the soil system anyway, because it just can't cope. It's just not big enough, full stop. We just haven't got the infrastructure. But there's a difference here, Barry. If what you're saying is right, that could be true. If it's just a rainwater drain, that could be true. But if it contains foul sewage, it can't just go to a field. It can.
Yeah, he only described rainwater and water runoff. Yeah. But I don't know. We haven't got any maps anyway. We haven't got any maps. So, but if it comes up, Dave, I might be picking your brain if he comes back and starts talking to us.
Well, something what might be interesting to ask, just to ask him a question, does he ever see any foul sewage come out of that drain?
Yeah.
If it's only rainwater, I would suspect it's possibly only rainwater, but you do find the systems do mix at peak times, so it might be a question just to ask, because Barry could be right with it.
It says it's heavy, it's rainwater backs up and overflows around this manhole and floods part of my garden. So he's only describing it as rainwater. Thank goodness. So he's only describing it as rainwater. Imagine if it was worse than that.
Oh, yeah, it's not very pleasant.
No.
Okay.
And other than that, I've copied you onto everything I've got here, including all the stuff to do with the Freedom of Information request around these parish councils' relationship with the football club, which obviously there isn't one, because we don't rent out the ground. And I've got the confirmation there that our asset of community value nomination's being processed. So that's that there.
Lynn's got her hand up. Oh, no, maybe she's gone.
Hello, Lynn.
I was only going to say, and I don't know if this is relevant, going back to Ansell's Cots, when Joe and I were looking at it a couple of years ago, it was always soggy in the middle. And somehow we assumed that it was a spring or something. And I can't remember who did it, but somebody investigated and found that there was a broken drain at the top end of Ansell's Cots, so behind the houses that back onto it, and mended it.
Oh, that's good.
And it immediately cured the problem within the copse. And as far as I'm aware, for the times I've walked across it with the dog or just been there, it's not wet anymore there. But that was a broken drain. So there was sort of a T-shape of drain that sort of ran along the back of the properties at the top end of Ansell's Copse and then came straight down almost onto the road, and there are manhole covers within Ansell's Copse. So that was broken. Now, whether that would have a bearing on what you were talking about just
now. Probably fixing it has now made sure the water all actually ends up running down into that poor chap's garden, because before that it was just pooling at Ansell's Copse. So for years he hadn't noticed. So we'll keep quiet about that.
Okay.
Island Roads have checked out all the drain in this letter. He explains the stuff to Ansell's Copse is fine, but they're trying to work out if we had a map for anything else, because they think it's in the opposite direction, the issue going down the hill.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Lynn. That was interesting to know that it got fixed, which is good. So we're on to finances, Barry. Yes, finances. Yes. So, this is to note receipts and payments. Any questions on this month's receipts and payments for anybody?
Now, I was going to ask about the extra bit for Bryson, but you've explained that.
Yep.
No grant applications, Brian, is there?
No grant applications, no, not this month. Okay. Right, so then we're on to the parts that contribute to the audit. This is just our end of year finances I've been putting together. So hopefully you've all seen, I sent around the balance sheet, bank reconciliation statement, receipt and payment summary, together with supporting notes and statement. So that was for item 317204. There were four things to look at and for you to approve, to resolve to approve. So any questions on any of those?
No,
it looks all right. Thank you. In that case, Barry, would you like to someone propose approving them? And
I'll propose that.
Thank you.
Seconder, please. Sally?
Oh, thank you. Second.
Yeah, I could have.
Okay. And so Diane, were you proposing or seconding, or did you want to say something?
No, I was either proposing or seconding. I don't mind which.
Okay. Well, we've got that. So, all those in favour, please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So they're approved. And the next two are for the benefit of the external auditor, which are section one and section, well, we'll do section one first of the AGAR. This is the one with all the ticks on, which is one of the reasons we have the finance working group, and I bring a summary every month to the meetings, is hopefully to prove to auditors, as we have done in the past, that we are actually taking care of all those items on that list and keeping our internal checks and controls in place. So, Barry, if you'd like to propose that one as well.
Yes, I'll happily propose that. Someone second it?
I'll second it.
Diane, second. All those in favour?
Approved. Thank you very much. And the one for 06, which is the accounting statement. This shows our position at the end of the last financial year and our position as we were a few days ago, a couple of weeks ago now. Well, it's nearly three, isn't it? Where does the time go? So back on the 31st of March. Yeah, I know, this is where we were, yeah. And that was our financial position as prepared by me. And unless anyone's got any questions, again, it comes down to propose and vote and that kind of stuff.
I'll propose that.
Second it.
Second. All those in favour, please. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Approved.
I'll probably see you tomorrow, Brian, and sign these off with you.
Yes, that's right, because I'll have to I'll have to bring the one that I've actually signed, and you'll sign that one as well.
Yeah.
Okay. And the other ones all need signing, so we need to sign all of those. Yeah.
Oh, Mike.
I think, I mean, the work that Brian has done on those, you know, balancing figures, and it is always tough, and it does take a lot of time. And, you know, I think we ought to just compliment Brian in his hard work in giving the presenting
thank
it in the format that he has.
Thank you.
On another wheelbarrow.
Yes, that's right. It's good. The sense of satisfaction I'll have in a couple of days when I parcel this to Mike Parsley and think I haven't got to fill any fresh forms in will be quite a relief, I can tell you.
At the moment when his shoulders sag.
Yeah, he really gets excited. I'm always happy to see Mike because he's like, really? You know, he's like, oh yeah, he's a lovely chap and he's got loads of energy and he makes me feel good about the process. Even when he's telling me I've done things wrong, he does it in such a nice way. It makes me feel like doing more things wrong. And I'm joking. So that's
okay. Yeah. That's probably it, Brian, isn't it?
That's it for the finance. Thank you very much, everyone.
Okie dokie. Well. We've done that. So, has anybody else got any information to share with the parish? Sally?
Particular
order, as you appear on the screen.
Okay, thanks. Did we ever get a definitive on what the road name approval will be for that load of eco-pots?
It was in the planning meeting. What was it, Mike?
Carbuncle Way.
Carbuncle, yeah. You Barry did suggest that at the meeting. Carbuncle Way, but yeah.
Lodge Gardens. Lodge Gardens, yeah, that was it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you. And could we, as a group of councillors, write a letter to George and Shoto Nimmo, who diligently every day go along the Dover and sweep pebbles back onto the beach and pick up litter? I just think it would be nice just to give them a quick thank you for doing that.
He's down Wright Road, Sally, isn't he?
He lives in Fairy Road.
I'm very, very happy to do that. Sally, would you mind offline giving me the details, the names and the things? And because when people do lovely things like that, it is nice to appreciate it, isn't it?
I didn't know he did that until Jamie told me, and that was just a couple of days ago. Okay, anybody else got anything?
Is that for stone sweeping every day,
And litter picking along the Dover.
Lots of people litter pick, but yeah.
Becky.
Oh yeah. There is a path which runs from Gully Road up to Horston Drive. I don't know, with some steps at the bottom. I don't know whose remit it is, but the steps have sort of, I don't know, slipped, and there are people trying to negotiate these steps. They really need some sort of handrail.
Well, okay, what I'll do, I think I know that one. It's the only one, isn't it?
Yes, there is only one. It was put there when when the first part of Horston Rise and Horston Drive was done, it went came up to the end of Horston Drive, but then it was extended.
I report it to the Rights of Waiting, because they are normally
pretty
good.
Thank you very much. Because we have a 99-year-old lady who walks along Horston Drive, down Horston Drive, and then back up the thing, and there's no... I mean, she's not the only one. There's plenty of people that need it, but it could do with a handrail of some sort.
It has deteriorated, though.
And it has, and it's partly because it's deteriorated, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Becky.
Anybody else got anything to offer observations? Okay. Well.
Oh, sorry. Brian? Do you know who's is it? Island Roads that have dug out the gully? Because I'd like to say thank you.
It will be Island Roads, yeah, because they, as we found out on the walkthrough, was it Mike, I think it was Mike and Councillor Gibbs, wasn't it, who walked along and they told us it was them that maintained the air.
Yeah, because I was about to say we needed to get a party together to do it, because people just shoved their rubbish in the gully.
Thanks to Island Roads for digging it out, yeah.
Well, if we can, if it's not too much of a hassle.
Yeah. Good.
Okay.
I'll let the district steward know. And then when he turns back and says he hasn't done it, then we'll have to think, who's been doing that? Who's been digging a thing?
Yeah, well, they're probably just making a parking space.
Yes, there's less parking space now because all the stuff that was in the gully is now on the bank.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it'll make a nice start for a
and buried a couple standing. Of cars that shouldn't be there. Yeah.
Get that on there in no time.
Well, thank you all very much for your attendance this evening. A good meeting. And it is now 20:42, and I declare the meeting closed.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.